As Sierra said, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. As we know, today is a day just to celebrate. I believe that motherhood is a great display of the great heart of God. God's great heart is displayed through motherhood. The love and the care and the mentoring and the shepherding. A happy Mother's Day to every single mom, to my wonderful wife, to also my mother who's in the room. And man, it's just such a blessing what motherhood could bring. But also, I want to take the time and I want to acknowledge that though this day brings a lot of joy, I also want to take the time and acknowledge for some people it brings a lot of sorrow. And maybe the sorrow is because of a loss of a mother. Maybe the sorrow is because of the pain from a mother. But today I want to remind you that we see you, we love you, but let me remind you about your Heavenly Father. Let me remind you of your Father who knew you, who formed you, who was with you, and who was guiding you, and who was shaping you, and who is for you. And today I want to take the time and I want to just pray over moms, because motherhood is tough. I'm witnessing it right now, right? I gave my mom a hard time for a long time. I still do. And I also just want to pray for those, again, who are on the side where this is a tough day for you. So would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great and precious gifts that you give so freely. You are a generous God. You are a God who does not hold back. You provide to us and for us the things that we need. And one thing that you have given that every person needs here on this earth is a wonderful mom. It's a mom of gentleness. It's a mom of peace. It's a mom of great care. It's a mom who loves Jesus. But I know for many of us, as we are thankful today, I know a lot of us are hurting as well too. But I know your spirit can meet not only the joyful, but also the sorrowful. And so, Lord, I pray that they are reminded that you are their Heavenly Father. And that in and through whatever they have been through, whatever they are going through, you still are their peace. So help them today. Bless them. I pray for every mom in this room today. I pray that they remind themselves that in Christ they are enough. That in Christ Jesus, not by themselves, not how good they do on parenting that day or any day, but in Christ Jesus, they are enough. That Christ alone is their shepherd. And raising a family and raising children and trying to love your spouse or whoever it may be, it's tough. But you are a God that nothing is too difficult for. So help them to trust you. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys, man. What a wonderful day. Man, what a beautiful day. Almost summertime. It feels like summertime. Yesterday, I was outside, was feeling good, and today's nice as well. Hopefully, you guys get to enjoy it. Today, we're going to be continuing, if you're just joining in with us, we started a brand new sermon series last week. Today, we're going to be continuing in week two of this series called The Adventure of Faith. Don't you know that following Jesus is an adventure. It is not just one thing where it's just, as Sierra said, saying yes and then kind of life goes back to normal. No, things change. You change and so does your life. And this adventure of faith is the adventure where you get to partner with God, and on this adventure, he begins to shape you and conform you into the image that he's calling you to look more and more like, which is Jesus Christ himself. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be jumping into the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you have your copy of the scriptures, go ahead and open up your Bibles, your device, whatever it may be. Or if you don't have either, or you can go ahead and repent. No, I'm joking. You can go and keep going, Logan. That's early, bro. That's a record. thank you, Keith. You're the only Christian in the room. Go ahead and look at the screen. It'll be on here for you. I'll be getting an email later on. Anyway, I don't read them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read all 13 verses, break this down, and we can go on head out. I got a short sermon for you guys, or at least I said I do. But anyway, here we go. Beginning at verse 1, it says this. It is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You yourselves know, brothers, that our visit to you was not in vain. As you are aware, we have already endured such suffering and shameful treatment in Philippi, but in the face of strong opposition, listen to this, friends, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God. Verse 3, for our appeal does not arise from deceit or ulterior motives or trickery. Instead, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, not in order to please men, but God who examines our hearts. As you know, we never use words of flattery or pretext or greed. God is our witness, nor do we seek praise from you or from anyone else. Although as apostles of Christ, we had authority to demand it. On the contrary, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother caring for her children. Happy Mother's Day. We care so deeply that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. That is how beloved you have become to us. Surely you recall, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day so that we would not be a burden to anyone while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how holy and righteous and blameless our conduct was among you who believe. For you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children, encouraging you, comforting you, urging you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom. And we continually thank God because you received the word of God that you heard from us. And you accepted it not as the word of men, but as the true word of God, the word that is now at work in you who believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So 1 Thessalonians, this is the Apostle Paul encouraging this church in many, many ways. We talked about how he was encouraging the church last week. And this week, he's going to talk to them about one important topic that I feel like you and I desperately need and what we receive as we go on this adventure of faith with God. Before I jump into that, you know, I'm a big movie buff. One of my favorite movies that I remember watching the other day, or I was watching the other day, was the movie Braveheart. Anybody remember the movie Braveheart? Yeah, Braveheart. Remember that? Back in the day, William Wilberforce. I think that's what it was. William Wallace, not Wilberforce. William Wallace, and I remember, what's the very famous line? They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. Oh, man, I was getting pumped up. Almost woke up the kids. Oh, man, it was exciting. I love that movie. I think the one thing that I love about that movie, and for those who do not know Braveheart, again, repent and go home and watch the movie Braveheart. Yeah, this is the two times. But the movie Braveheart, one of the reasons why I love it is because deep down, William Wallace, he had a life that, yeah, he faced a lot. He was under the tyranny of rejection and all of that, the things that he was facing. But the one reason that I believe a lot of us love a movie like that is because he displayed much courage. Right? I love a movie where, you know, it's always the main character kind of overcomes, right? And they display much courage, right? And they show what a life of courage looks like. And you and I, we get excited for that. We clap our hands and we feel satisfied in how the movie ends and whatnot. And I think the reason why I'm so attracted to this idea of courage, because if I can be honest, deep down inside, I lack courage, right? I think movies or entertainment or anything that talks about courage, right, it attracts us because it's something we know that is absent from us, right? I believe those style of movies and entertainment, whatever it may be, I think courage is one thing. We love the idea, but we don't possess that very trait, right? Especially as life gets more and more challenging. And there's one thing that I've noticed as I get older, and I'm 35 years old. I'm getting up there. Getting up there, you know. I saw my kids said, "Dad, what's in your hair?" I said, "Shut up. I got some powder in my hair. Now it looks like gray hair, Daddy." But anyway, you know, one thing I've realized is that the older I get, sometimes the more challenging life becomes. Right? Right? Sometimes the more challenging life becomes, and the more challenging life becomes, the less I live out a life of courage. But here's what I want to talk about, this idea of the adventure of faith. And if you're taking down notes, write this down. This is the first point I want for you. As you walk in the adventure of faith, as you walk in journey with Jesus Christ, God begins to shape you into a person of courage. Right? There's one thing God wants, how he creates and forms your soul. Because here's the thing. When you follow Jesus, right, there's one thing that changes. It's not Jesus. It's you, right? And so many of us, when it comes to journeying with God, we kind of get on this path where we're trying to get God to do what we want and do what we desire and all of that. And that's in all of us. We all have a control syndrome. we all have that. But here's what I believe today. The Apostle Paul is going to teach us. As you and I go on this adventure of faith, God begins to shape you into a person of courage. Not a person that is reckless. Not a person that is loud, obnoxious. He begins to make you a person of courage, meaning he begins to create within you a person of conviction, of faithfulness, and of truth. Right? That's the heart of God, to shape you into a person of conviction, faithfulness, and truth. And that's the idea of this adventure of faith. Let's go ahead and jump right into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, go ahead and bring up the verse for them, Justin, verse 1. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at what he says. He says, "You yourselves know, brothers." Now, stop there. Paul, this is probably one of his earliest letters that he has written. He's written several of them. We have several of them in the New Testament. This one is probably one of his earliest ones. Not his first one, but probably his earliest ones. And he's talking to this church that was founded and started through his example and through his leadership. So look how he goes forward. He says, "You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not in vain." Keep it up there. Keep it up there. "That our visit to you was not in vain." Paul, eventually on his journey as he's spreading the gospel, he lands in the city of Thessalonica. He goes to the city of Thessalonica and he plants this church, right? But this church was planted and it was started in some pretty interesting circumstance. Let's read verse 2. Look what he talks about in verse 2. He says this. He says, "As you are aware," as you already know, church, "we had already endured suffering and shameful treatment here in Philippi." Now, let me stop there real quick because I got to give context. In Acts 16, the Apostle Paul, along with his companions, as they're journeying to Thessalonica, they go to this place, Philippi. That's where we get the book of Philippians. Now, in Philippi, things got pretty interesting. And what I mean by that is they got their butts beat for preaching the gospel. They were persecuted pretty badly. They got beat so bad, some people thought that they all right. They gonna make it. And then not only that, they got sent to prison, right? So they got beat up. They had a mob that got formed and people that didn't want to have them come in. And not only that, they got sent to prison. Can you imagine that kind of day? You've had bad days, but you never had a Philippi day. You know what I'm saying? Just tell yourself, when you're having a bad day, just say to yourself, "I'm not the Apostle Paul." Thanks be to God, right? Right? They got beat up, right, for preaching the gospel, and they get sent to prison. But look what Paul says in verse 2. Look what he says. He says, "But in the face of strong opposition, we were bold in our God to speak the gospel of God." Notice how Paul, listen to this, friends. Notice how Paul speaks of his circumstance. Notice how he speaks of it. He addresses the challenge, but notice he addresses it in sort of a optimistic way. Notice that. Notice Paul doesn't say, yeah, you heard about what happened, and it was terrible, and, you know, we got frightened and scared, and, you know, we didn't know what to do, and, you know, we kept reaching out to friends, and we asked ChatGPT what we should do about the situation. And no, notice how he talks about this situation. Did you see that? He says, our coming to you was not in vain. Meaning this, listen, yeah, we faced really hard things. But the great power and purpose wasn't what we were facing, but it was what was God was producing and doing in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. See, a lot of us, what happens is in our lives, when we are facing circumstances, you and I are really good at looking at the hard. That's what we're good at. We're really good at just focusing on the hard. And this is how, for many of us, we get into the rabbit hole of depression and anxiety. And this is what happens, right? Because we're speaking about our circumstances because of what is happening. Here's what God wants to produce within each and every one of you today. God wants to give you a life of courage where you're not ignoring reality, you're just inviting him into that reality. Does that make sense? It's not, listen to this, friends. It's not, Christianity is not, oh, nothing bad happens to me. It's the opposite, right? We serve a crucified Savior, you know what I mean, right? Christianity is not like ignore the difficulty, but rather, here's what Christianity is. Christianity is, I'm inviting God in this, and I'm seeing this through the lens of him. Here's my next point that I want to say. This is the point that I want you to write down. Courageous faith learns to interpret difficulty through God's promises and purposes, right? Because here's the thing. Life is all about interpretation, right? It's all about how you interpret your circumstance, right? And notice this. Paul was able to be courageous through conflict. Here's how God makes you more and more courageous. It's built through conflict. See, for a lot of us, we have this mindset where, again, we want God to just make our lives easy. Right? And I get that sentiment. You want to have comfortable days. You don't want to have Philippi days. you don't want none of those days, right? But here's the one thing God is really good at, using your hardship. There's one thing God is really good at doing is using the difficulties, the rejection, the opposition, the challenges, all of that. But it takes for you to put on a different lens, a lens of faith, a lens that says, yes, this is happening, but it's happening not apart from God's purpose or promise. That's the whole idea of this courageous faith. This is this type of faith God wants to shape and mature within each and every one of you. Courage is built through conflict. That's this idea. Courage is built through conflict, right? And Paul says, we were bold in God. We were bold towards God. Listen, we got our butt kicked. And here's the one thing I want to say, friends, and I'm excited to talk about this point. For many of us, we're getting our butts kicked lately. News after news in your life, right? Right? Disappointment after disappointment, right? People aren't stepping up. Heck, you aren't stepping up. And there's a lot of, right, there's a lot of emotion, and there's all of that. But as I said last week, and I'll repeat it this week, and I'll repeat it next week, and I'll repeat it the week after, God is working in you. And God is working through that too. Because nothing in your life happens apart from God's purpose or promise. Nothing in your life happens apart from God's purpose and promise. We need to learn in this adventure of faith how we interpret our difficulty matters, and we need to interpret it through who God is and what God will do. That's this idea of faith. It is not ignoring reality. It is bringing God into that reality and making him Lord over it. That's what it is. So this courage is built through conflict. So Paul talks about that. But notice how he gets into this next portion. Now, Paul moves into how God begins to make them more and more courageous. Look at verse 3. Look at what it says in verse 3. For our appeal does not arise from deceit or ulterior motives or trickery. Paul's pretty much telling them, like, hey, when we came to you, we weren't trying to get anything from you, right? We came to you with a pure heart. We came to you not seeking anything rather than your faith, that for you to trust Christ. Look what he says in verse 4. Instead, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, not in order to please men, but God, who examines our hearts. I want to stop there. My oldest, he gets very territorial when it comes to his toys. Very, very, like, it's like a sacred duty of his to, like, you know, and if you touch it and if you get in the way of it, even if you even breathe on it, he's ready to fight you. It's just bad, right? Right, and he feels that he has this responsibility to guard his treasure, right? Even though I bought it. That's what's crazy. Like, you know, don't touch it. I bought it. You know, I'm not going to say it anymore. But anyway, you know, I find it very interesting, right? I gave it to him, but he cares for it, right? He cares for it. He nurtures it. There's a seriousness and an earnestness for him and his gift. Now, he may be doing it in the wrong way, right? And not the right way where I got to teach him to share and whatnot. But I appreciate him, like, the delicacy and how he cares for it. And this is kind of our responsibility as followers of Christ, how we are meant to care for the gifts God gives us. And friends, yes, life is beating you up, but you still have many gifts that God has given you. And Paul says this, we faced life and life got hard, but our opposition and our conflict, it didn't keep us from being faithful to God. It actually led us to be even more faithful to God. Now, I find that very interesting. Because in these moments in life, when life gets tricky, when life gets challenging, that's typically what a lot of people's faith starts falling, right? That's typically what happens, right? And they begin to go through the motions of, why God? Why is this happening to me? Why is this and all of that. And there's a time and a place where we must address those things and we talk through those things and whatnot. But I love Paul. What motivates Paul to his faithfulness to God is because of God's faithfulness to him. What motivates Paul to remain into what God has given him is because God is good to Paul, essentially, right? And here's what I want to say about this idea of courage and how God begins to shape us into courageous people. Conflict doesn't lead them to compromise. It actually leads them to faithfulness, because courageous faith is those who seek to please God alone. I went to a wedding last year, 2 years ago, I can't remember. And, you know, when I do weddings, you know, they say, hey, pastor, you know, can you stay for the rehearsal? We want you to do the prayer. And I said, no problem, you know. And when I do these weddings, you know, I don't always know the family in you know, that well, right? I may be doing it just because, you know, it was from the church and whatnot. And I remember going to this wedding, and I got seated at this table. And it was very clear that I was an outcast. Let's just put it like that, right? This table made me an introvert. Let me just say that, like, I quickly, like, they were talking about monster trucks and, you know, their F-150s, and I'm over here with my Honda Civic, you know. You know, they're talking about all these things. And I remember as I was, like, trying to, because, you know, throughout the night, you know, I can only not talk for so long, and I'm trying to, like, talk to them. I'm like, so, you know, what kind of engine you got in your F-150? And he's like, what kind of question is that? I'm like, yeah. Kind of engine you did. I'm on Google, like, engines and F-150s. What kind of engines? What are different models? Right? The Wi-Fi wasn't working. It was just all bad, right? It was all bad, right? In that moment, what I was trying to do, I was trying to fit in, right? I was trying to fit in. And I actually heard this very interesting quote from this podcast where it says, some of the most insecure people are people pleasers. And I was like, oh, dang. He's not talking about me. Right? People pleasers are some of the most insecure people, right? And sometimes what's hard to live out faith, it's because I'm so tunnel focused, have this tunnel vision of who's watching me. Who accepts me? Who approves of me, right? And notice the Apostle Paul, he says, man, in this walk, in this opposition, in the conflict, and all of that, though, yes, we had a lot of people and rising against us, there was one thing on our mind was to bring glory to God, right? Right? Because life is much happier when we're seeking God's glory, not the glory from others, right? Life is much different, right? Our minds are much healthier, right? When we see, because here's the thing. If you fail others, you got to try to impress them again. If you fail God, God's like, well, thank you, Jesus Christ, that your failure doesn't define how I view you or see you. Thank you, right? Right? There's a different focus and a different result that are produced when we're seeking to please God, right? Right? Because a courageous faith seeks to please God and God alone. Now, we don't seek to please God to get something from God. We seek to please God because God has given us everything. Everything that we need, right? Here's another thing how Paul talks about a courageous faith. Look at verse 9 to 13. Look what he says. He says, surely you recall, brothers, that our labor and toil, that we work night and day so that we would not be a burden to anyone while we proclaim to you the gospel of God, right? We proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are a witness, and so is God, how holy and righteous and blameless our conduct was among you. And if you jump down to verse 12, he says, we were encouraging you, comforting you, urging you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into this kingdom of glory. You know what I love about Paul in this? Paul was two things, and I want you to write this down. Paul was a man of integrity, right? Did you notice in these verses that Paul says, hey, when we came to you, you know, we came to you in humility, right? We came to you not boasting or wanting to gain anything from you, right? Paul says we came to you, and he talks about this attitude of integrity. And here's what I want to say. As you journey with the Lord, as you walk with God, here's the one thing God begins to strengthen is your character. Because some of you don't know, and I know you don't want to hear this, and you might go to another church after this, you have character flaws. And guess who knows you have character flaws? Jesus. And guess who wants to challenge those character flaws? Jesus, right? Right? Guess who isn't interested in you settling in your character flaws? Jesus, right? And over time, he wants to create within you a person walking in integrity. I love that idea of integrity, right? When was the last time you and I prayed the prayer, God, help me to have a character of integrity. It's probably been a while. I don't think I've ever prayed that prayer, and I've been a pastor for a long time, right? God, help my character. Help me to have a character that honors you, right? Right, and that's what the Lord does in this adventure of faith as we walk with him. Now, I want you to write down these notes. If you're taking down notes, these are notes of how we can practice integrity this week. These are ways of how you and I can walk in integrity. You ready? Here we go. Number one, honesty even when it's costly. Honesty even when it's costly. Now, some of you are a little bit too honest, right? You got to be a little bit wise when it comes to your honesty, right? Right? But this is the idea. This is the idea where, like, if somebody says, are you okay? You are moved to say, no, I'm not. And it's okay to say that. You don't give them the phony, yeah, everything's fine. No, be honest, right? Or if there's something that you said that you were going to do and you didn't end up doing it, just be honest. Say, hey, I didn't do it, right? Honestly, even when it's costly, right? It's a hard lesson to learn. I'm still learning it. Ask my wife. She'll tell you that. We have to celebrate Mother's Day twice this year because of how much I've had to learn it. Number two, follow through on commitments. You know what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, let your yeses be yes, and let your noes be no. Let your yeses be yes. And I have fallen victim of this before, where I'll make promises. I'll commit to things, and then next year, you know, I'll cancel last minute, right? And for us, it feels convenient, but to the other person, it's pretty crushing, right? Right? Follow through in your commitments. If you say you're going to be there, do something, do it. All right, you ready for this next one? Don't put it up yet, Justin, because I want to prepare them. Okay? I want you to take a breath. I don't want you to throw anything, okay? Matter of fact, let me get behind the podium before I say this next one. Number three, act the same in private as you do in public. Yeah. I was making sure nobody threw anything at me. Right? This is pretty self-explanatory. Can I move on? Do you need some examples? No? Okay, I'll move on, right? Oh, man. That's a tough one. Just leave that up there for them, will you, Justin? Just for the next 15 minutes, just stare at that, you know? Take a picture. Make a painting about it. I don't care what you do. That is so real, right? God can't do a lot with phoniness, you know? He can't do a lot with it, right? Number four. Stand for what is right, not what is popular. Right? Stand for what is right, not what is popular. And number five, admit your mistakes and seek forgiveness. This is another one, too. Keep that up there for him, Justin. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the one thing I've had to learn that God, how the one character God is growing me in, or one way God is growing me in, is saying I'm sorry. A lot, right? Right, saying I'm sorry a lot. This is what I want us to practice this week, right? Because I guarantee you one of these five things, or maybe all five of these things, will present themselves to us, right? Right? Admit mistakes and seek forgiveness. Now, the Apostle Paul says, we worked night and day and labored and toiled for you. Here's the one thing I believe God will bless. Is a hard worker. If you read the scriptures, you can honestly read all about the results of the lazy and the worker. Or the scripture, or the Proverbs will put it, the lazy and the diligent, right? Right? It says the lazy is one proverb, Proverbs 17, the lazy ponders in imaginations, but the diligent receive their reward. Right? The lazy ponders in imaginations, right? Right? God blesses a hard worker. Now, here's what Paul says. This is what we worked for. This is what our work was in. He said, we were workers and laborers of encouragement and comfort. And that's what I feel like God is calling us. The way we serve people here at our church, we serve people by encouraging them and comforting them. Because here's the thing, life has already been beating them up, right? Somebody asked me, you don't talk about hell enough. I'm like, bro, you know, like clearly I understand the, you know, the teachings on that. Like, but you know what people need to hear is the grace of God in Christ Jesus, right? Because the last thing, last time that I realized, I came to Christ not because of fear, but because of love, because of grace, right? And what do we need to do? We need to be encouragers and comforters, right? Here's how you can encourage people and comfort them this week. Number one, encourage them through your words. Encourage them through your words. Say something nice. Go out of your way. Go out of your way. Just say something nice. Fellas, tell your lady, you look good, girl. Just say it. Ladies, quit yelling at us. No. Forgot she was in a room. you know, say, go out of your way. Say something nice, right? Number two, encourage and comfort with your presence. Sometimes just showing up is enough. I've often told the story about when I was a youth pastor, how I surprised one of our students and went to his wrestling match. He didn't know I was going to it. His parents did, but he didn't know. In Brunswick, and I went out there, and I showed up, and he's, you know, out there about to wrestle, doing his whole thing. And he just somehow, I don't know why, he looked up, and he saw me. I didn't yell his name. I didn't do anything. And then he turned, and he started crying, right? And I'm like, oh, gosh, I just, you know, this kid's about to lose now. He's about to get, no, he went out and he destroyed the kid. And then I asked him after, I said, man, why did you cry? He's like, I've never seen a male show up as much as you have in my life. Right? Encourage people just through your presence, just showing up. Right? Right? Number three, encourage them through your story. You know what sometimes people need to hear? You know what people need to hear? It's me too. Right? Sometimes people just need to hear, I know what that's like. But let me show you how God showed up in my life. Share your story, right? But also, number four, don't forget this part. Encourage them by listening. You know, the Bible says be slow to speak, right? Some people just, they don't need your words, they need your ear, right? Here's how we can comfort our loved ones this week, through our presence, through our words, through us listening, through us sharing. That's how we can serve our people. This is what God calls us in this adventure of faith, to be people who are willing to go out of our way as he calls us to be encouragers and comforters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful, wonderful Son, Christ Jesus. I thank you that in Christ we are reminded of the very gifts and blessings that are made available to us. And Father, I do pray that we can be people of courage. I pray that we can have this prayer that Lord, there's so many times in my life where fear and doubt knock on the door of my soul. But your might and your spirit can lead me to a life of courage. Give me, Lord, the courage to stand up for what is right. Give me the courage to not fall into the same rhythm and patterns that consume my mind. Give me the courage to trust in your promises and your purpose. Even when life gets pretty ugly, pretty messy, even when sometimes my days feels like Paul when he was in Philippi, give me the courage to trust you. Give me the courage to say, Lord, I look not inwardly, but I look upwardly. I love you, God, and I thank you. In Christ's wonderful name, amen.